Tube dudes, who knew? Who really knew? But does it ever occur to you what a driving hazard those things are? Like, there have been many times where I've been, you know, cruising down the thoroughfare, and I'll see one of those things, and it's like, you know, just get lost in that. Like Nathan said, it's just mesmerizing, and then whoop, bring it back to driving. You pay attention to what's in front of you. Bruce Becker and I were talking about that a little bit earlier, about how the oxygen of whatever engine was filling that up, the air. Also, this organ, this beautiful instrument that we have in front of you this morning, behind me, the organ would be nothing without the engine of air that's blowing through that, that generating, that thing that gives it life. Even Steve, our trumpet player this morning, if you think about it, the air that Steve generated in his body to blow through that trumpet, the people that are going to be on this platform this afternoon, a lot of brass players, they're going to give a concert today, and it's the breath behind all of that that makes that work. Tube dudes, musical instruments, people, kites. As long as I can remember, kites have been a part of our Easter celebration in the Gaucher family. As long as it's not raining or snowing and there's a little bit of air, we have flown kites on Easter Sunday. For over 3,000 years, the kite has been a common symbol used in many countries and cultures around the world during the seasons of Lent and the season of Easter, in which we find ourselves now. Think about it. The sight of kites flying in the breeze becomes this powerful visual reminder that as children of God, we too are spirited human beings. So today, as Christ followers in this and in every place, whether or not there's a religious or a spirited connection, the sheer delight of watching something as inanimate as a piece of paper or some plastic or a piece of fabric stretched over the crossbars of wood becoming animated by something that's inanimate creates a deep sense of inspiration and enthusiasm. Well, friends, by now you know that we're continuing our Easter season series called Thrivera. We are exploring what it means to thrive in this era of our lives, in this time, even in this moment as we gather together as a community of faith. But as we begin this, it's important to start off with this, that thriving in our life does not mean that there is an absence of challenge, that this is somehow something that we do apart from the difficulties of life. When we talk about thriving, we're not talking about avoiding difficult issues. When we talk about thriving, we are not talking about minimizing challenges. Rather, it is about acknowledging those things, acknowledging the difficulty, acknowledging the challenges, and embracing them as opportunities to grow, because everything has something to teach. Thriving takes place at the very intersection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our daily lives. And so for the next several weeks, we'll be moving through this Easter season, and we'll be walking through this transformational experience together toward a deepened sense of our identity, of our purpose, of our mission and our vision as a community of Christ followers who are spirited, creative, and connected people called to be present, grateful, generous, and missional with our lives. These seven thriving rhythms will shape our thinking about what it means to be the people of God who are shaped by the cross. We are shaped by the life of Jesus Christ. We are shaped by his death and resurrection as we bring some good to each moment, something better to each day, and our best to each other as we encounter the world around us. So today we're exploring the first of those seven thriving rhythms. We are spirited. Can you say that with me? We are spirited. If you're using the companion book that we've created for you, the Welcome to Seasons Thrivera book, you'll be spending some time each week in a rather deep dive into the guiding narrative of this thriving rhythm. As image bearers of the divine, as image bearers of God, we thrive as spirited people by affirming that we are inspired, we are animated by and enthused by the source of all life, and that every breath is a gift. This thriving rhythm is all about breath. Let me explain this. As image bearers of God, people who bear the very image of God within us, we are breathed into existence. We're breathed into existence. The breath of God in us brings us to life. And the power of the spirit breath of God sustains our daily lives. In the Holy Scriptures, there are two words, spirit and breath, that are often used interchangeably. Not in every case, but by and large, those two words have the same meaning and they can be used interchangeably. To understand this, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, early in the creation poem in chapter 2. It's in these first few verses that we see that God's creative energy comes to this beautiful, powerful crescendo in the creation of humankind. So we see in these words that the creation story of humankind begins with the spirit breath of God that brings us to life. There is no life apart from the spirit breath of the Creator. Let me read this passage for you from Genesis chapter 2. After God had created the heavens and the earth, day and night, water and land and trees and plants and large animals, small animals, sea creatures, cattle, reptiles, bugs and fish. After all of that, then the Lord God formed human. God formed the human from the dust of the ground. And God breathed spirit breath of life into the human's nostrils, and the human became a living, spirited person. It's the word of God for the people of God. Friends, as you can imagine, there is so much going on in just these few verses, but I want you to hold on to three insights. Breath is spirit. Spirit is life, and life is gift. Let's break it down. First of all, breath is spirit. The passage from Genesis 2 is just spectacular. It paints this precious image of God as creator, this loving creative force that gets to this point in the creative order and just desires something more. And so after all of that, on the sixth day of creation, just imagine this. God the Creator kneels down and pulls together a handful of soil. Soil and dust and earth. And God leans down, kneels down, and gathers this handful of soil. God looks at it, holds it, and then gently forms it into a human, you and me, gently forming humankind from the dust of the earth. And then God draws it close, receives a breath, and then breathes life into what God has just created. And the human, this bit of earth and dust, becomes a living being. Breath, spirit. Breath, breathed from God's lungs into our lungs, filling us with the Spirit of God. This, of course, is woven throughout Scripture. But I got to tell you, in the oldest book in the Bible, even more ancient than the book of Genesis, and I know, like, how does that work? But even more ancient than the book of Genesis, we find the book of Job. And in this oldest version, this oldest piece of writing that we have in the Scriptures, we're reminded in this book of Job that God's Spirit breath creates, sustains, and connects us to God the Creator. You know this story. For about 98% of the story of Job, Job is struggling. He's lost everything. His family, his property, and his name. Everything in that culture at that time that made Job, Job, was lost in an afternoon. If ever a truckload of bad luck got backed up to someone's yard and got dumped into his yard, it's certainly this book of Job with all of this bad luck. Everyone around him, for most of the chapters of this book, everyone around him is trying to convince him of a couple of things. When calamity comes, when difficulty and challenges come, they're trying to convince him that either God hates him and is trying to do him in, or he must have done something to deserve that. Those two ancient thoughts are alive and well in our culture today. If we're willing to admit, when we've experienced calamity in our lives, it's really easy to look at the God of all creation and say, well, we've been left on our own again. Or to say, we've done something to deserve this. What was it? Friends, nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. And Job isn't having any of it either, because Job is a thriver. Job is a thriver. He knows two things. He knows those things did not happen to him. Those things happened for him. Job thrives in the midst of all of that because he knows that no matter what life's experience is, no matter what's happening in our lives or what's not happening in our lives, Job knows that he and we are connected to God who created us, gathered the dust of the earth to form us, and then breathes new life into us. And so these powerful words from Job chapter 33, verse 4, we read this. Job says, the Spirit of God. Keep in mind that this is after he's lost everything. He says that the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Friends, this theme is then picked up in the book of Acts centuries later. The Apostle Paul reaches way back here into the book of Job and pulls it forward, and he's teaching early Christians about God's proximity. God's enduring nearness to you and to me, to all God's people everywhere. Paul wants followers of the Lord of the empty tomb to know that the God who raised Jesus from the dead isn't out there someplace, isn't in some remote corner of the cosmos doing God's own thing, isn't disconnected from our lives. No, the empty tomb announces that God is here, that God is for us, that God is with us, God is around us, God is in us, no matter what. So you know how that translates in our lives? You know how this translates in our lives. You can finish this sentence. God is as close to us as our next breath. God is as close to us as our next breath. Absolutely, because God has breathed that breath that you just received into you. So in the book of Acts, Paul says, God is here. God is with us. God is for us. The God who made the universe and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, gives life and breath and everything to everyone. So friends, every breath we receive is a gift from the Creator. That is our starting point as spirited people of God. When we shift our attention away from the idea as breath as something that we take and move toward breath as something that we receive, something shifts in us and we move toward deeper thriving. So if breath is spirit, then spirit is life. You really don't know how precious the gift of spirit breath is until you don't have it. On Monday night football on January 2nd, 2023, an unprecedented tragedy took place. With 5 minutes and 58 seconds left in the first quarter, Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin collapsed on the field after tackling an opposing player and suffering cardiac arrest. Think of it. The breath that had first entered Damar Hamlin 24 years before that, on Wednesday, March 4th, of all dates, 1998, that breath left his body. And many of us saw that. We watched that. Moments later, Buffalo Bills trainer Denny Kellington began CPR, and the staff of the team revived Damar Hamlin on the field as he received the first of a new lifetime of breath. In those moments, he received the first of a new lifetime of breath. And then 1 year later, he posted on his social media, he says, "They say if you want to hear God laugh, just tell God your plans. I couldn't even imagine the year I just had," he writes. "Blessed and highly favored to make it into another year." You see, there's another thriving rhythm, gratitude, which we're going to get to in several weeks here. That's starting to stir in him, but it's not lost on him that the breath that is in him is the breath of life. But friends, we don't have to play professional football or even yard football to know that there are moments in our lives when we feel out of breath. Because of some pain or some brokenness in our lives, our hearts feel like they've come to a stop. You know what that is in your life. I know what that is in my life. But friends, when we come to the end of ourselves, do you know who is right there? Jesus Christ is right there. Let me remind you of this important thing that we want to hold on to, that we don't take a breath. We don't take a breath. I know that's how we usually talk about it in our lives, taking a breath. Well, we tell each other, just simmer down, take a breath. No. Because breath is a gift, and a gift is received. We don't take a breath, we receive it. We welcome a breath. We accept a breath. We absorb a breath. We don't take a breath. We receive it. To acknowledge breath as a gift is a turn toward thriving. As you just bring your attention to the rhythm of your breath, you could use Job 33:4 as a way of partnering with your breath. So as you inhale, you could say, the Spirit of God has made me. And then as you exhale, you can say, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. It's a simple practice. You can do this wherever you find yourself. And now you can, if you're ready, you can just open your eyes. The sensation of breathing in and then breathing out is an invitation to be reminded that as image bearers of the divine, of God, We thrive as spirited people by affirming that we're inspired, animated, and enthused by the source of all life, and that every breath is a gift. And when we see every breath is a gift, we can make it so that every breath is a prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for breathing life into us again today, for calling us to this place to be reminded that you are the source, that everything we are, who we are, what we have, where we're going, what we're doing, is rooted in you. So we pray that you would give us just what we need to make every breath our prayer to you. It's in the strong name of Christ, and everybody said, amen.